We're at the beginning of the third parak of Masechta Sanhedrin. Again, we had introduced it a little bit. The situation that we discussed is one where the parties want to form their own based in what we refer to as a Zabla, that is an acronym for Zabor Lo Echad. So the Mishnah says, Dine Mamanos Bishlosha, Zabor Lo Echad, Zabor Lo Echad, Vishnei Borinlem Orecha Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says the situation is as follows. So Reuven and Shimon are locked, so they can't mediate between themselves. And so Reuven says, I'm going to pick one Dayan, and Shimon says, I'm going to pick the other Dayan, and then we'll mutually agree on a third party. Now, there's something very attractive about this, because the thinking will be that, you know, if you can really get them to see eye to eye in this kind of a way, so then everybody buys in, because if the decision goes against them, they'll say, well, you know, look, two of the three judges, you know, I had a hand in picking, so, you know, if I'm wrong, I guess I'm really wrong. But Chamim Omrim, no. Shnei Adayanim Borin Lehem Od Echad. We don't want a situation where, you know, there's any sense of being beholden in terms of the final outcome to one party or the other. So we only trust this kind of a situation where the Dayanim themselves settle on a third party. Now, again, this all sounds good in theory. I mentioned it the other day that in practice, the results of being generous, when I say this, are quite mixed because there are unscrupulous people who are involved. And what's far better, both halachically and practically, is a Beis Din Kavua, where you have people who this is what they do, not the only thing that they do. You know, they'd be rabbis, attorneys, people who are qualified in learning, people who are qualified in procedure, you know, of Batei Din, and they're not in particular beholden to anybody. Unfortunately, the economics aren't really there. In the Daf Yomi, it came up this morning that the best way to run such a system is schar batala. In other words, that you can't pay somebody for the work that they're doing because, you know, you really don't want a person getting paid to serve as a dayan. It's a very big moral hazard. Even if they're taking an equal amount from both parties, still the Gemara speaks about that in very wary terms. But, you know, people could be doing other things. So the economics are not entirely there. It's a major area of growth for our community to focus on. But the bottom line is that that works a lot better than a situation where you essentially have interested parties. You know, if a dayan got on the court because somebody appointed him because he thinks he's going to be his advocate, so that's already a major conflict of interest. And unfortunately, that is the way that it plays out. So Zeh Posel Dino Shel Zeh, Posel Dino Shel Zeh, the Rebbe Meir says that each of them can invalidate the dayan of the other party. Only if there's legitimate cause. So there's some nuances that we don't have time to get into right now, but basically it's you can't invalidate somebody who's fundamentally qualified without cause. You know, this comes up in the secular context, the Havdil. You know, you don't like the other guy's Supreme Court candidate, even though everybody agrees there's the best student in his class in elementary school, high school, college, and law school, because they happen to disagree with you. That doesn't invalidate them. That doesn't make them, unfit for the task at hand. So there has to be some valid basis. They can invalidate each other's witnesses. They were mayor, but there has to be some invalidation, like they're related to one of the parties in the case, or there's some other psul. And here the Gemara comments that we're talking here about a situation where one of the parties claimed to have multiple sets of witnesses. So then the other litigant can claim, look, I'm not an interested party. I'm just saying one set of witnesses is invalid, not necessarily the other set of witnesses. In any event, the next Mishnah moves on to a halacha called Kiblu Alayu. Let's say both parties agree that they're going to go to some relative for mediation. I was reading a story the other day, very fascinating story. The Chazon Ish's wife ran a store, and there was a dispute with the customers. The customer said, let's go to your husband. Now, the Chazon Ish would have been, you know, perfectly acceptable to take any din Torah that came up in his day in Bnei Brak, but one that involved his wife, you know, Ishto Kigufo, like that's the ultimate psul. But since the other person was the one who said, you know, let's do it, so she said, okay, if it's okay with you, it's okay with me. He ended up ruling against his wife, which made for the interesting story, but that was the Chazon Ish. So somebody says, you know, I accept, my father, your father, as the dayan, that's acceptable. Amar lo neman alai abba, by mutual consent, neman alai avicha, neman alai shlosha roei bakar, Rabbi Meir Omer Yachol Achzor, but Rabbi Meir says even after the Gemara din, you can retract. This is assuming they didn't make a kinyan. If you make a kinyan, all bets are off the table. V'chachamim Omer Yachol Achzor, but the Chachamim say that there's no basis for retraction after the Gemara din has been issued. Kiblu Alayu is Kiblu Alayu, accepted it. Hayachayav Chaver Shvua V'Amr Lo Dorli B'Chay Roshcha. Right, if a person was obligated to make a shvua, but he flips it around and he says, you're the one that takes a shvua, and if you take a shvua, I'll give you the money, or you could keep the money, that works too. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachol Achzor Bo, you can retract. Chamim Omrim Eino Yachol Achzor Bo, that once this has been done, what's been done is done, and no retraction is possible. So what we have here is basically two tracks. That the best thing in the world is always to have a Beis Din Kavua where we don't need to play games and different people picking advocates. There is, however, a halachic dispensation. And by the way, this might even extend to a Gentile. If you think somebody is an excellent mediator, generally speaking, there's a very severe restriction against litigating anything in a secular court. But just in terms of mediation, let's say, you find somebody who you think is like Plato's philosopher king. He's a professor of philosophy, he's the most just man in the world, and you say, we want him to mediate our financial dispute. That's probably acceptable, as long as they don't do it alpini museihem, like, you know, in a way that's beholden to certain laws. You can actually do such a thing by mutual consent. So there's great latitude in the halacha if the parties agree to mediation, you know, via somebody who would otherwise be completely unacceptable. The Chazon Ish's wife can say, yeah, if it's okay with you, we'll go to my husband and he'll adjudicate the case. It seems absurd on its face. But that is fundamentally acceptable. But the only way to lock that in is through a kinyan. They have to make a kinyan to show that there's real gemiras das, or after the gemara din has been issued, Ish Ploni Atazaka, Ish Ploni Atachayev, at that point we paskin that no retraction is possible.